Let's open our Bibles now in the book of Acts, chapter 6. We will read verses 8 to 15. The sermon title tonight is The Works of the Holy Spirit Through Stephen. We will read the verses 8 to 15 of Acts, chapter 6. The book of Acts, chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. This is the word of the living God, and he says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those who, and of those from Sicilia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel." Amen. Let's pray again. Our Heavenly Father, we read your scriptures. And now we ask you that your Holy Spirit help us to see and to listen everything that we need to understand and to believe in Jesus Christ and to trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord. Please help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are walking through the book of Acts for a while. And now we are entering in a different moment of this book. Beginning chapter 6, we will see that Satan will not be so gentle with the church of Jesus Christ. Until this moment, we saw Satan attacking the church in many ways. First, he tried to make them fear that the promises of Jesus Christ could not be true. And the church was waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and they wait for a while, but then they realize that all the promises that Jesus Christ gave to the church were true. Then Satan started to attack the church with many threatenings. They were arrested for many times, and especially the leaders of Jerusalem, they threatened the apostles and the believers to stop to talk about Jesus Christ, the resurrected of God. And we saw that they continue to speak about that name. After that, the threatening started to become real, and we saw the apostles of Jesus Christ suffering under the hands of the high priests and all the Sadducees, and they beat them, but that was not enough to take their faith, and they praised the name of the Lord because they were honored to suffer by this name. Then we saw in chapter 5 Ananias and Sapphira trying to bring corruption to the church, attacking the church from inside, but that was not enough. The Holy Spirit continue to work, and many people continue to come and believe in the faith. And all of this will come to change in this moment with Stephen, the guy who was elected to be a deacon in Jerusalem with six other guys. We spoke about them in the last sermon. And all of them belong to the Greek culture. They had Greek names. And that means that God was guiding the church to unity. And now we will see one of those seven deacons being called for something different. Stephen will be the first martyr of the church. Beginning chapter 6, the church will not only suffer many things, but they will also give their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this brings us for this part of the book of Acts that we read it tonight. Verse 8 starts speaking about Stephen. We will hear also about Philip in the next chapters. But here, the main point is to look to Stephen and to see what God is doing through the person of this man. Verse 8 speaks about Stephen being full of grace and power, and it says that he was doing great wonders and signs among the people. There are many things important in this small verse. First, he was full of grace and power, and we need to understand what that means. Full of grace, we will be able to understand that better looking for what the apostles were doing before that. It means that they were taking care of those who wanted to discover about Jesus Christ. They knew that many people around Jerusalem were expecting for their Messiah. The Jews especially, they were waiting for the promise of God. And they didn't know it about Jesus and didn't know it about what Jesus made. They didn't believe in Jesus Christ. So they started to preach for them, knowing that they were under many difficult situations because of this. But they continued to preach because they knew it, that preach the gospel and bring salvation for the lost, it's something that pleased their God. They were being moved for love. The love for the sake, the love for the ungodly. We need to understand that this is part of the feeling that a believer needs to have. We not only need to see those unbelievers around us and pray for them, but we need to understand that we need to love them, and to love them, we need to give to them the opportunity to move to the right place. And to make that possible, the only way is offer them the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was full of grace. Grace to bring an opportunity for all the unbelievers around him. And he was full of power. We will not understand that perfectly in these verses that we read it tonight. But in the next chapter, you will see that his power was not a power who makes only extraordinary things. But his power is based on the Word of God. He will speak about the Word of God as many preachers today cannot speak. He will read the law, he will read the prophets, he will read everything that God spoke in the Old Testament, and he will bring a lot of meaning to those things, to the new church and to the Jews in that situation. Because he knew it, who his God was. and what he was doing through Jesus Christ. And we will not be able to see that tonight, but we can see that he knew it, and his power was based in what he knew about his own God. And then we will see that he was doing great wonders and signs. And we already spoke about that. This was a very important thing to the apostles. They were doing wonders and signs among the Jews to show to the Jews that Jesus Christ was really the Son of God, the Messiah. He was the only one who could save them. And the wonders and the signs were being used by the apostles to that. And now we will see that Stephen is the first deacon, in the first person actually of the church, who had wonders and signs besides the apostles. But we will not understand that exactly now. We will continue this text, and by the end of this sermon, I hope to show you why this is important in this situation. Let's move then to verse 9, because here we will see that God used Stephen, a man full of grace and power, a man who was doing great wonders and signs, and he was using him not to his own benefit, but God was using him to bring ungodly people, pagans, Jews, to the presence of God. Some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedom, and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and all of those from Sicilia and Asia, they rose to dispute with Stephen. And here we will see that now Satan is trying to confuse him. He's bringing all the wisdom of the world, and this is the meaning of all these people here. Why he's quoting the freedmen and the Alexandrias and people, all those from Sicilia and Asia, why they are important here? Well, because the idea is all the wisdom of this world coming to the presence of Stephen and trying to convince him that his reading of the Old Testament and the witness that he's giving about Jesus Christ is false, and he's just speaking vain things. He's just facing one of the big challenges of all believers in this world. He was speaking about Jesus Christ to people who didn't want to learn about Jesus Christ and wanted to show that Jesus Christ is false. He is not the resurrected of God, they said. He is not the Messiah, they said. He is dead. He is not resurrected from the dead. He is not our Lord. He is not a Savior. And they were trying to argue against Stephen, showing them all their wisdom to make everyone around them just ignore Stephen or realize that he was a false prophet. But it's very important to see what verse 10 says. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit which he was speaking. All the wisdom of this world were not able to destroy the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to realize the meaning of this for us. This is not only a common passage that will show us that Stephen was facing a trial in that moment. This is a passage who will show us that we have the most powerful message in this world. There is nothing in this world. There are no wisdom in this world. There are anything in this world able to show that Jesus Christ is not the Lord and the Savior of this world. I am scared how believers are afraid to show their faith to ungodly people. I am scared because many times I face people in the church for many years and years, and they know the gospel and they know the words of truth, and they are scared to preach because they say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond, and I don't know how to argue. You have the only true message in your hand. This is the most important message of the whole world. You can have all the knowledge of this word. You can study all the books. You can try to go deep in philosophy, in many other things. But you will never be able to find a message more great and more powerful than the gospel of Jesus Christ. I never saw someone changing his life through philosophy. I never saw a man changing his life through the wisdom of this word. But I already saw many people coming from deep waves. They were destroying their lives. They were destroying their families. They're destroying everything. And once they realize Jesus Christ is the Lord of their lives, they become completely different. Like a new life. Because this is the power of the gospel. Change a dead body, a dead person, to a live person. A people who live in the presence of Jesus and who will live forever with Him. Nothing in this world can make that. Only the gospel of Jesus. So I'm not scared to see that they could not do anything about Him. They could not withstand the wisdom of Stephen. But there is something here even more important. The wisdom and the spirit. Pay attention. The spirit with which he was speaking. There is something more important here. Against the wisdom of this word, we use the gospel, who is much bigger and much better than the wisdom of this word, but we need to use the gospel with the Spirit of God. Why is this important? And we need to ask. We need to understand why is this important. This is important because we need to see here not Stephen being a very godly person and a good witness of Jesus Christ. The honors should not be for Stephen. I, of course, respect this man a lot. I hope to see him one day in the heaven. He's a very good witness of Jesus Christ. But he is not the one who is changing and moving in this situation. The Spirit of God was making Stephen speak with boldness the greatness of our God. And that will change everything. Because we are seeing that he is a guy full of grace and power, doing great wonders and signs with the Spirit of God. Once again, the Spirit is here, working in the Church of Acts. And this is something that we need to understand. What is happening to Stephen? What is different in him that is not real for us today? It's very simple. He was walking with the Spirit. He was working with the Spirit. He was living with the Spirit. Everything that Stephen was doing is search God and work for God. And I'm not saying that he was not doing worldly things. Probably he was fulfilling his call to be a good deacon. He was visiting. He was distributing food for many people. Probably he had his own work. He was working to bring food to his table. He was a normal guy. But we need to realize that a normal guy, moved to the through the Spirit, will fill himself with important things in the presence of God. And that needs to make us think about our own lives again. Can you see what you are feeling, your own mind and your own body? Are you filling your mind and your heart with the hope of Jesus Christ? Are you filling your life with the scriptures of Jesus Christ? Are you praying constantly, knowing that you have a good friend in God, and that you need to talk to Him every day for many hours? Are you passing time listening to good sermons? Are you listening the voice of God through the scriptures? Are you listening good songs? Are you filling your body, your mind, your heart with godly things? Or are you passing this life searching vanity and all those things that will not bring us to the presence of God? It's impressive how today believers can do everything. They can make many things. They can play many sports. They can play many instruments. They can speak many languages. They know everything about United States, Europe. They know the news about every place in this world. They speak about politics for many times. And they are filled with all those things, but they are not filled with the gospel, with the Spirit. They don't know what to do in important things, because they are filled with bad things and not with the important things that God is bringing us the attention that we need to have. I know that we have a life to live, but what is this life without Jesus? What is this life without the scriptures and the Word of God? And what is the meaning of all those things? It's interesting because Stephen here is preaching for those in this synagogue, the synagogue of the freedmen, but in the next chapter, that means in the few hours by this moment, Stephen would be dead. And the only important thing for him, it was, I am in the presence of God. He saw, we will see that, Jesus Christ waiting for him. Because after this life, and we need to remember every day that this life will pass. You will not live here forever. You will not stay here forever. You will die. You don't know when. I don't know when. And the only important thing for all of us is we are filled with Jesus. We are filled with the hope and the message of God. We know our God. We are ready for the challenge of death. Do you know? Are you sure that tomorrow, if you die, you will be with God? Do you have this assurance? Are you dreaming with this day? This is important, and not the other things. They are not important. We need to spend time with them. But here we can see that a life guide through the Spirit of God is a God that will guide us to change lives and to testify the name of Jesus as the only Savior of this world. And of course, when we do that, we will not find a good response from the Word. And this is what will happen in the next verses. Verses 11 to 14, will show us that the Jews, by that moment, they didn't enjoy what he said. They were very upset with Stephen because they could not argue against him. They could not make anything against him. So they secretly instigate men to say, and look to verse 11, it says, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." They called people to lie. Let's continue, and then we will see the big thing that they are doing here. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council, and they set up false witness who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." What are the accusations? They said, "We have heard his speaking blasphemies against Moses and God, and this man never ceases to speak words against this holy place, the temple, and the law." But what they are doing? What are they doing? They are just breaking the law, trying to defend the law. And of course, it doesn't make any sense. They are just showing us that they don't belong to God. Do you remember what, for example, the Heidelberg Catechism speaks about the ninth commandment? Is in the Lord's Day 43, question 112, asks, "What is required in the ninth commandment?" And the answer is, "That I bear false witness against no man, nor falsity any man's words. That I be no backbiter, nor slanderer. That I do not judge, nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard. But that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil. Unless I would bring down upon the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings I love the truth, speak it uprightly and confess it. Also, that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor." This is completely different from what they are doing. They are fighting against the truth because they are saying that the truth is not real. They are breaking the third commandment because they are using the name of God in vain. They are before the judges of their religion, and they are saying before God that Stephen made those things and he said those things. They are saying that the name of their God is not important. And they are bear false witness against him. He never said any of those things. But they could not support, they could not handle with the truth that Stephen was bringing to them. And we need to think better about those things. Because here, they are saying that Stephen was speaking about what Paul will say in the book of Romans. We know that Stephen, we didn't start to deal with the preaching of Stephen. And we will see that better in the next opportunities. But here, what we see is that Stephen was teaching them that the law, the Moses, and those things were not able to save them anymore. That is the main point of Stephen. He was teaching them that they could not fulfill the law of God. And of course, their own witness, when they start to lie and to speak all those things about Stephen, they were just showing that they could not fulfill the law. They were people who lives in this world saying that they follow God, but they were just following their own hearts. And when those people, the face, the grace of Jesus Christ, when they face that their works are not able to move anything for their salvation, when they realize that God is doing everything, that He's just coming and saving people, and He's choosing those people by His own wisdom and power, they just realize that they cannot handle with that truth. And this is the problem of those who believe in their own works. They really think that if they lie to themselves about their own works, they will be able to save themselves. But this is a lie. This is a lie, and we need to realize that, because we are a church that believes in the works of Jesus Christ. And if we believe in the works of Jesus Christ, as we said today through the Apostles' Creed, we are saying that our works, they can't do anything for ourselves. The works of Jesus Christ and not our works. So, you will not be saved for being here tonight. This is not a merit for you. This is not a benefit for your salvation. This is a benefit for you growing in the presence of Jesus. This is a benefit for you to learn about Jesus Christ and to be a worshiper of our Lord in His day. But this cannot save you. You need Jesus as your only option of salvation. You need to understand that your faith needs to be only on Jesus Christ. In the last day, in the judgment, the only thing that can save you is Jesus. Actually, we will be in His presence, and the scripture speaks about a judgment, and when we think about a judgment, we think about we speaking with the judge, and Jesus is the judge. And then, in His presence, we can think, for example, He asking us, why do you deserve to be in My presence? And the only answer that we can give to Him is, because of your work, dear Lord, and for anything else. Because we cannot bring anything to your presence. We cannot offer you anything. The only treasure of this world is Jesus Christ. The only thing that we will bring for eternity is Jesus Christ. It's the only important thing. And this is coming and coming again in the book of Acts, because this is the gospel, the real gospel, the gospel that will show us that Jesus is the only one by which we can be saved. And this is why Stephen here is speaking those things for them. But they don't care. They are just breaking the ninth commandment, and they are trying to do something even worse. They are accusing him to blasphemous words against Moses and God. Blasphemy against God, according to Leviticus 24, verses 15 and 16, deserves the penalty of death. You can go there and see in the law, it was written, if someone blasphemed against God, you should take stones and true to him and killed him in the presence of everyone, because no one is allowed to blaspheme the name of God. So they were still under the law, and they were saying, he's blaspheming the name of God. Their purpose, since the beginning, was kill Stephen and put an end in the message that he was preaching. But the irony in this text is everywhere, but here in verse 15, it becomes even better. And gazing at him and looking to him, all who sat in the council, pay attention, saw that his face was like the face of an angel. That's very interesting. Many commentaries, they don't know what this verse means. They just think, for example, that was a sign that he was a godly person or something like that. That he was shining the light of Christ or something like that. But I don't think that this is just something curious that will happen in this situation. The only place in the whole Bible that we will see someone else having their faces shining besides Jesus Christ is in Exodus 34, verses 29 to 35. Let's read. Open your Bible in Exodus chapter 35. We will read just so you realize what is happening here. Exodus 34, verses 29, beginning in 29. It will speak about Moses after he receives the law at the Sinai. And it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, and he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. His face was shining when he brought the law. And now the face of Stephen is shining like an angel because he brought the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you see what God is doing here? He's giving more signs to the Jewish people. He's telling them, look to this guy. Look, he's not being accused here for his great wonders and signs. Come back to verse 8 now. He was a man full of grace and power who was doing great wonders and signs. Probably he was healing the sick. He was expelling demons and all the other signs and wonders that the apostles made. But he was not being accused for that. He had wonders, he had signs, and now he seems like Moses. What else they need to see what God is teaching to them? God was giving them all the answers. God was showing them that Stephen, through the Holy Spirit, was bringing a higher message. The message of Jesus Christ, of the gospel, who says that we are saved by grace and through the works of Jesus Christ, we will be saved forever. For us, this is amazing. We can't fulfill the law, but God can, through Jesus Christ, forgive us from our sins. It's everything we need. And God was giving all those miracles and signs to his people, but they were not able to see because their hearts were closed for God. This is the worst thing, the worst position that a person can be. If we are close to God, we will just walk in this world without hope, without meaning, not knowing the power of Jesus, not knowing the greatness of our God. We will not rest in peace during the night because we don't know. We will fear the future. If you have Jesus Christ, you have hope. You don't fear anything. Like Stephen here, he was not afraid about those men. He was continually speaking about Jesus, and even with them accusing him, he spoke about the love of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, because this is important and nothing else is important. Jesus is the crown of the church, and we should show his name and speak about his name to everyone. And what we can learn from this text, we need to learn and we need to think about ourselves as if we need to ask if we are filled, really filled with the Holy Spirit and with everything that God called us to fill our own hearts. Let's remember about Acts 2. The church was searching the doctrine of the apostles. The church was praying. The church was breaking the bread. And the church was having fellowship. That is what makes us grow. That is what makes us become stronger. And that is what will prepare us for what God wants us to do. This is important, my friends. This is more important than everything for you. You need to go and search God and fill your heart and your mind with God. And then you will prepare yourself for the tasks that God has for you. And don't believe that God is not calling you for anything, because He already called you. Probably you are only avoiding what you need to do. God called us to speak about His greatness, to show the world about His greatness, to love the church of Jesus Christ, to love the ungodly, to preach the gospel for them. There are so many ways to serve our Lord. And I'm sure we need and you need to prepare for those tasks. But we need to learn also in this text that besides any threatening, besides any difficult situation, we should always be stand teaching and speaking the whole gospel of Christ. We need to learn that through the accusations that they gave about Stephen. They were speaking bad things about him, things that he didn't said, but those things reveal us what he was really teaching. In face of Jews, in face of those who have the law of God as the highest thing in this world, he was telling to them that they don't need the law, they need Jesus. Can you see the boldness of this man? And of course, the boldness that came through the work of Holy Spirit on him. It's impressive to think about that. Because when we are facing people in this world, we don't have the same boldness. We are afraid to speak to people who live in a pagan way, who are worshiping idols, for example, that the idols are dead, They are not true. They cannot save them. We are afraid to speak the truth. We are afraid to speak for our friends who live in the new culture, the culture of inclusivity and respect and all those things. We are afraid to say that there is no way besides Jesus Christ for your salvation. My friend, your religion will not save you. You need Jesus, otherwise you will be in hell. This is true. And we need to speak the truth to people. Otherwise, they will be lost forever. Many of us are afraid to speak the truth for our own family and friends, close friends. Because we don't want to have problems in our fellowship, family fellowship. I don't want to make my sister or my brother upset. Well, do you want to celebrate with him from eternity? Or do you want to have 10 parties in your life and never see him again in eternity? Can you see the craziness of our mind? It's confusing us, and this is the work of Satan among us, making us fear to speak the truth to this world. They need the truth. They need Jesus. Otherwise, they will die forever. It's urgent. They need that message. And of course, the last thing that we need to see in this text is when we fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit, when and with the armor of God, when we prepare ourselves to the combat, when we have boldness from the Spirit to speak the truth, we need to live a life that will show that what we think and what we preach is true. The face of Stephen was like an angel. This is exactly, literally, what shine the light of Christ means. He was literally shining like an angel. Of course, I don't expect that anyone here starts to shine. But when the people outside of this church look to you, what they see? They see Jesus, or they see just a normal person living their lives? Can they see you worshiping your Lord? Can they see you praying to your Lord? Can they see the words of God on you? Can they see you treating your family well, you respecting your wife, and treating your children correctly, teaching them to walk in the works of Christ, in the paths of Christ? Can they see you loving your neighbor as yourself? Can they see you speaking the truth? Can they see you living a life for service as Jesus Christ lived his life? Can you see how special can be a life of a believer if we really walk through those things that we believe? They can see the light of Christ on us. But you need to live this life to Jesus. And this is the conclusion. We need to understand, and Stephen is showing us, that we need to live completely to Christ. He is the only important thing for a believer. You have a treasure. Christ is not only your only hope. He's everything that you need. You don't need to search for the things of this world. You don't need more money. You don't need a bigger house. You don't need more books or more food. You need more Jesus, more of His gospel, more of His knowledge. This is what we need. Seek the Lord and you will find Him. Leave to the Lord and everyone around him, you will see Him shining through you. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Our Heavenly Father, what a precious passage of the Scriptures. What a special testimony of a believer. What a special work of your Holy Spirit in the life of Stephen. Oh God, please we ask you that this example can fill our hearts and making us love you more and seek you more. And may we will be filled with your Holy Spirit. And may we will be filled with grace and power. And may we will see this church shining your light and speaking about your greatness to this world. And we will see that salvation is still happening among us. Save us from ourselves. Save us from our own desires. Save us from our sins. And through the words of Jesus Christ, we have faith that you will continue your good work on us until the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray in His